This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you an exclusive interview with Union Minister R.K. Singh on the achievements and vision of Ministry of Power and New and Renewable Energy. The interviewer is Nirbhay Kumar, journalist.
Power sector has undergone major reforms in recent years. The man behind all the policy actions is Power Minister Mr. R.K. Singh. He is with us today. Welcome, sir, to Akashvani.
Thank you.
The world has recognized the effective reforms carried out by India in the power sector. India is no longer a power deficit country. It has indeed been a transformational journey. How was this made possible and what are the new targets the ministry has set for itself?
Actually, the journey has been really transformational. You know, when this government came to office, you had thousands of villages. One problem was, of course, access. Imagine, even 68 years after independence, you had thousands of villages which had not seen electricity, and hundreds and thousands of hamlets, and millions of homes, in fact 29 million homes, had not seen electricity after 68 years after independence. Can you imagine that? The Prime Minister, he pledged that he'll connect every village in 1,000 days. That task devolved upon us. We did it in 987 days, 13 days before the target date. We connected every village. We connected every hamlet. Thereafter, we decided to connect every home, and we connected 29 million homes in 19 months. This was the largest and the fastest expansion of access ever in the history of electricity in the world. So we transformed our country from a country with problems of access to a country where access is now universal. Electricity access is universal, number one. Number two, we were deficit in power. Who can forget the long hours of load shedding in most areas of the country in the 2012-13, decades before 2014, you had long interruptions, load shedding in the power sector across the country. We've transformed that, and today we are surplus. We've taken our established capacity to 421,000 megawatts. We added almost about 190,000 megawatts in the past 9 years. And today we are surplus. So the maximum demand which has been reached is 223,000 megawatts. My established capacity is 421,000 megawatts. Now we are exporting electricity to Nepal, to Bangladesh, a little bit to Myanmar. That's how we have transformed it. Connected the whole country to one grid so that we can transfer power, whatever power is required to any corner of the country, we can transfer that. So the transfer capacity has been increased to 120,000 megawatts. You know, we constructed almost 190,000 circuit kilometers of transmission lines. And it is one grid, integrated grid, running on one frequency with one national control center. This is the largest integrated grid in the world. And this has many modern features. It has some of the latest design transmission lines, 800 kV HVDC, etc., which is the cutting edge in the world. We have some of the transmission lines which are at the highest reaches in the world. Transmission line to Leh Ladakh, which is the highest reach in the world, right up to the borders of Myanmar, everywhere. Then we strengthened the distribution systems. We spent almost about 2,10,000 crores on the Dindyal Gram Yojana, IPDS and Subhagya. And we constructed 2,980 substations. We upgraded almost about 4,000 substations. 8.5 lakh circuit kilometers of HT lines and LT lines. 725,000 transformers. And as a result of all this, now the availability of power in the rural areas has gone up from 12 hours a day to almost about 22 hours. In the urban areas, it's gone up to 23.5 hours. So we have brought in the rights of consumer rules, which says that 24/7 power is your birthright. And no distribution company has the right to do load shedding. If any distribution company does gratuitous load shedding, they'll pay you a compensation. We brought this in the rules. And exhorting people to complain wherever there is load shedding. We've identified one or two areas where the load shedding is happening. And we are writing to the concerned states that why is this happening? Because we have sufficient power. And we have strengthened the system, so there should not be any question of load shedding. So that's what we did. The second thing which we did was that we made it viable. Distribution system, the power sector was not viable. You had many, many power plants which had gone sick. Why? Because they had not been paid. And the outstanding dues of generation companies was almost about 135,000 crores. That has been brought down to almost about 68,000 crores. We have halved it. The current payments are up to date. Now the power has suddenly become viable and the shares of all the power companies have gone up. So that's the transformation we've done. This happened because we put in place rule-based system, which prescribe timely payment of subsidy, which prescribe that the tariff will be fixed on a timely basis, that the tariff will be cost-reflective, etc. We've done all that. So that's how we made it viable. We have emerged as the fastest country in undertaking energy transition, you know, because of climate action, because of the worries about global warming. So energy transition is now something which is imperative around the world, and every country is carrying out energy transition. We have emerged as a leader in that, because our rate of growth of renewable energy capacity is one of the fastest in the world.
Right, sir. So, center has taken lot many measures to persuade and encourage states to improve the financial health of DISCOMs. Are you satisfied with the progress made?
Absolutely. Encouragement is one thing, but we have now made it mandatory that, number one, if you have announced subsidy, you must pay the money for that on time. We have made it compulsory, otherwise there will be penalties. So similarly, we have said that, okay, the tariff must be updated regularly, otherwise you will not get any assistance from any of our schemes. You will not get any loan from PFC or REC. So we made it all conditional. And as a result of all this, what has happened is that the AT&C loss has come down from almost 22.7% to 16.8%. We've reduced the AT&C loss by 6%. We have reduced the ACS ARR gap, the gap between average cost of supply and the average revenue realized, has come down from 68% to 15%.
But some of the states are providing free power even to consumers who are in middle or high income brackets. How sustainable is this?
Now, this is actually very short-sighted. What these states are doing, and in fact, all these states who have announced free power and are giving free power, some are giving 100 units free power, some are giving 200, some are giving 300 units. No, I have no problems with that as far as the power sector is concerned. You can give free power to everybody, but free electricity is not free, so somebody has to pay for it. You don't want the consumers to pay, then you have to pay for it. That means the state government has to pay for it. They don't pay from their pocket. They pay from the budget. So that also is public money. We have to pay from it. So I put in place systems which has made this mandatory, that if you have taken power, you must pay for it, otherwise the power will switch off. So my system is working. But the problem is, not in my sector, but the problem is financial for the states. So I have got a study done. All these states who have announced freebies, free electricity, 100 units, 200, 300, including Delhi, which used to be so cash rich, which had such huge revenue. They are all borrowing money to give free subsidy. So they are actually burdening the future generation. Whatever loans they are taking, that has to be repaid. So it will be the future generations will have to repay it. Now they have created liabilities by borrowing, so the future generations will not have any money to construct roads or maintain hospitals, maintain schools. So all these people are irresponsible. That's my say.
And sir, power tariff for commercial use remains high in the country and industry has been complaining about it. Is there a scope for reduction in tariff and to what extent?
Problem is with cross-subsidy. You see, in a desire to give electricity at low cost, etc., to consumers, they have used cross-subsidy and raised the prices for commercial and industrial sectors. As a result of that, the commercial and industrial sectors are reeling under very high tariff. Now, the tariff policy, national tariff policy, which has a force of law, says that the cross subsidy should not be more than 20% and it should be brought down gradually. The law also says that. But these people, they are not doing that. Actually, the cross subsidy was way more than 20%. We put in place systems to make sure that the cross subsidy is brought down. So it will be brought down gradually. So it is actually cross-subsidization. What they are doing is that for the poorer consumers, they are charging less. So that money, that burden is passed on to the commercial and the industrial sector. Now, as far as the industrial sector is concerned, if you make tariff of electricity high, then industrialization will not happen. If industrialization does not happen, your country does not grow. And if industrialization does not happen, you don't provide jobs.
And so, share of renewable has been on the rise and now account for nearly 43% in total power generation in the country.
So, actually, now India is different. Now, in most sectors, we are a world leader. In renewable energy, we are a world leader. Our rate of growth of renewable energy is one of the fastest in the world.
Yes, sir. But there was 50% target set for 2030. At current pace, it seems India would achieve the 50% target before 2030. How hopeful are you, sir?
You see, first, in COP21 in Paris, in 2015, we pledged that by 2030, 40% of our capacity will be from non-fossils. But we achieved that 9 years in advance. We achieved that target in 2021. In 2021, we crossed 40%. Today, 43% of my capacity is non-fossil. 43%. So we are way beyond target. So that's why in Glasgow we increased our NDCs, we increased our place. We said that by 2030, 50% of our capacity will be non-fossil. I will achieve that because I'm already at 43%. I have about 186,000 megawatts of non-fossil fuel capacity. By 2030, I'll have almost 65%. Of my capacity from non-fossils, not 50%.
And sir, on local manufacturing, there has been a lot of emphasis. So how Atmanirbhar we are in solar module manufacturing?
We are growing. My capacity for manufacturing solar cells and modules has gone up. It is now almost about 28,000 megawatts. My capacity for manufacturing cells has gone up to almost 6,000 megawatts. And by 2030, module manufacturing capacity will go up to almost about 100,000 megawatts because we had production-linked incentive schemes, two of them. Both were very successful. And under that, almost 48,000 megawatts of capacity for manufacturing cells and modules is coming up. And out of that, 24,000 megawatts of capacity will be from polysilicon onwards. Right. So we'll be emerging as an exporter. In wind energy, we have already a major exporter.
And there were discussions earlier about having interconnected power grid across the South Asian region. How is the plan progressing?
We are making progress on that. We have finalized agreements with the United Arab Emirates, which is with the cabinet for approval. With Saudi Arabia also, that is with the cabinet for approval. With Sri Lanka again, we have finalized the discussion. So we are already connected with Bangladesh and Myanmar. So it's in progress.
And sir, what should be the G20 action plan for global energy transition?
As I said, we are a leader in energy transition. Our energy transition is ahead of the target which we had set for ourselves. It's ahead of what we had pledged in COP. But every other country has recognized that. When we met, all the energy ministers met in Goa, and we took note of this, and we decided together that the transition to renewable energy needs to be accelerated. You know, the technology problems are, one of course is storage. Because if you have too much of renewables without storage, then you will end up by wasting energy. So storage is one problem. So we had a PLI for storage, we will have another PLI for storage. So that is one aspect which I will push. The other thing which we discussed was about green hydrogen. We decided on that, you know, there should be harmonization of standards for green hydrogen. We decided that there should be free and open trade on green hydrogen, green ammonia, clean hydrogen, clean ammonia. So this also we agreed. We agreed on the importance of access because there are already more than 730 million people without access to electricity. So we agreed on that. We also agreed that technology transfers need to happen to help the developing countries for carry out energy transition, and financial assistance needs to be given to some developing countries to help in the energy transition. We discussed all that.
It was really great to have you on Akashvani.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You were listening to an exclusive interview with Union Minister R.K. Singh on the achievements and vision of Ministry of Power and New and Renewable Energy. The interviewer is Nirbhay Kumar, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News On Air. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News On Air Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.